Blog Talk Radio.
I grab the mic and try to say yes, y'all.
Staring at the world through my grief.
I grab the mic and try to say yes, y'all.
Big talk, you don't stop.
I grab the mic and try to say yes, y'all. I grab the mic and try to say yes, y'all.
Big talk, you don't stop.
Hello, boxing fans, and welcome to another episode of World Championship Boxing. And today we're talking about the greatest performances of perhaps the biggest boxing draw of all time, Jack Dempsey. And I'm joined once again by my boxing expert, Juan Silva. What's up, man?
You just made a valid point there. Also, he is the first fighter and first athlete in the history of professional sports to receive a paycheck for $1 million in one sporting event.
Wow, back all the way back then, huh?
1927. In his second fight with Gene Tunney, he received a then-record purse and the first ever million-dollar purse.
And that, in today's dollars, that's enormous.
Today's dollars, it would be something like $16, $17 million for one fight.
Wow. Wow, amazing. So, we have, and arguably he was, like, I mean, if you look at just the popularity...
The attendance figures of his fights are ridiculous, 120,000, yeah. 70,000, 80,000. He did the first million-dollar gate in one of the fights that we'll be talking about on this show. And he was the first superstar boxer, the first boxer that was known worldwide that, you know, that later on Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson and Sugar Ray Leonard would get that appeal. Jack Dempsey and Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather, Jack Dempsey was the first superstar fighter.
Yeah, I mean, he's arguably was bigger than even Ali was when he, I mean, it's just in terms of notoriety, he was just
not worldwide. Ali to this day is still the most recognizable athlete in the history of sports.
Oh yeah, no, I mean in his own time.
In his own Ali in his own time. I remember Ali had more competition. Dempsey didn't have that much competition. He had Babe Ruth and maybe two other guys, while Ali had Jim Brown.
No, I'm just talking about popularity. I mean, they're neck and neck in terms of, like, worldwide fame.
And if you want to look at the history of boxing, Dempsey's a close second to Ali.
Yeah. So let's talk about this guy's crazy life here from in the early part of it.
Let's run down the fights that we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll mention that, and then I'll talk about it, because he had a very colorful late adolescence to early 20s, he had a very colorful past. But before we go into that, let's talk about the three fights we're talking about. From July 4th, 1919, he goes up for the World Heavyweight Championship against the then World Heavyweight Champion, Jess Willard. Then from there, we go to July 2nd, 1921, where in front of 120,000 people, the first million-dollar gate in the history of boxing, he defends against the very popular French heavyweight champion, Georges Carpentier. And then the last fight we'll talk about would be his last successful heavyweight championship, one of the greatest fights in the history of boxing, his fight against Louis Firpo, September 14th, 1923, in front of, some say, 80,000 people in the Polo Grounds in New York City.
Yeah, man, it's like the Pontiac Silverdome over there, but... I mean, it's like that kind of number, you know? I mean, it's just like crazy number.
To the popular Jack Dempsey, I mean, he was the first superstar fighter. Now, Jack Johnson before him was the first infamous fighter, but his popularity was nil because white people hated him. Jack Dempsey transcended race. He was popular among everybody. And he was just unbelievable, and he brought them in droves. Now, talk about his early childhood. Jack Dempsey came from an impoverished background. His father died young, from the very small town of Manassa, Colorado. And Jack Dempsey's nickname was the Manassa Mauler, him being from Manassa, Colorado. At the age of 16, he dropped out of high school to support his family because his father died early, and wound up homeless at one time, Logan. Homeless. He was an alleged draft dodger. As he went from town to town fighting in these bonds for little or no money and homeless from time to time, he amassed over 60 career fights before he got a shot at the title at the very tender age of 25. At that time, very young for heavyweight to get a championship. I believe he might have been the youngest heavyweight champion of all time when he finally got to fight the 6 foot, almost 6 foot seven beast, Jess Willard, July 4th, 1919, for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Now, Willard was an interesting character. This guy didn't start fighting until he was like 29 or something, right?
He was a cowboy. He was a cowboy, and he didn't start fighting longer until he was 27. And he was of limited skills. He would beat people because of his size and his tremendous chin. He ended the title reign of Jack Johnson, the most dominant heavyweight up until that point, 4 years prior in 1915 in Havana, Cuba, in over 100-degree weather. Jack Johnson gave him a beating for the first 20 rounds. But Willard, as you can see in his fight with Jack Dempsey, had tremendous heart and a chin of granite. Jack Johnson tired himself out, was heat exhausted, and in the 26th round, after getting dropped from a right hand, couldn't get up. He was more, it was more of exhaustion than it was Willard knocking him out.
But they'll take it because they wanted to get that title off Johnson for real.
Yeah, because the boxing world and the United States government had been trying to take the title away from Jack Johnson for 7 years. They finally got their wish when Jess Willard knocked him out in the 26th round in Havana.
26.
26 round. Had it been a 15-round fight, most observers at ringside felt that Johnson won the first 20 rounds. So if it would have been a 15-round fight, Johnson would have won it easy.
Wow, look at that. And when did they go to the limiting the rounds to 15?
I believe during Dempsey's reign, because there would be a title defense where Dempsey would win a 15-round decision. I think beginning with the 1920s, the 45-round schedule fights were taken away.
Not that Jack Johnson really needed it, because this guy was like coming up the ranks, given first round knockouts, right? Before he got this fight.
And of the Dempsey's four losses, Dempsey lost four times before this fight. He beat all four guys in rematches, so he had beaten everybody he had faced up until this point.
And let's talk a little bit about his style here and what was so effective about it. Mike Tyson is famously, you know, big influenced by him.
Mike Tyson prototype was Jack Dempsey. Very similar style, swarming, combinations, bobbing and weaving, in and out, and just reckless abandon. But Dempsey did it with style and vigor, and God damn, did he hit hard.
And he mostly did hooks and uppercuts, huh? That was kind of his thing?
You know, reason being, Logan, if you see in these three fights, the fighters, his opponents would always hold him inside. So they would hold his right hand most of the time. So he had no choice but to throw hooks and uppercuts with that left hand.
Right, but I mean, even from he's not like he was a big jabber.
Oh no, the first jab you'll see Jack Dempsey throw will be the first jab you ever seen him throw.
Right, he never does.
Yeah, you know, you don't see any jabs in none of these fights. Did he throw a single jab?
No, it seemed like he led with his face actually, but
the thing is, he was so fast, Logan, that the opponents would be off guard. They couldn't react to the fact that this guy was coming in wide open.
So yeah, he would do that, and then he was always the aggressor. It seemed like he was always going forward, and very active fighter, very energetic, and seemed to have boundless energy even to the later rounds.
Yes, he did. He had phenomenal stamina. I mean, he would only go 15 rounds once. He beat Tommy Givens after he wins this title in a 15-round fight. And in the 15th round, he's throwing as many punches as he did in the first round. So, yes, his stamina was unparalleled at that time.
So he wins the title here. He's the youngest champion.
Let's go fight real quick, because the first round is one of the most brutal,
oh, yeah,
one-sided beatings in the history of boxing. Within 20 seconds of the fight, he drops Willard with a spectacular left hook. And now, back then, you didn't have to go to the neutral corner. There was no standing eight count. You could stand over your opponent, and as soon as the guy got up, you could hit him. Dempsey dropped Willard seven times in the first round. Seven times. Willard kept getting up. And the seventh time, Willard was out. saved them. Back then, the bell could save you, unlike today. So Dempsey's jumping up and down because he think Willard can't get up, which Willard can't get up, but the referee has to inform Dempsey that the fight continues because the bell saved Willard. And basically, it was the inevitable. They should have stopped it right then and there. Second round, I got to give Willard credit. While he didn't land any punches, he held most of the round to try to clear his head. It didn't matter. Third round, Dempsey ripping him with left hooks and uppercuts like you mentioned earlier. Beat the hell out of him to the point where when the bell sounded for round four, Willard said no mas.
Yeah, I think I heard him say something like, I got a farm, you know, at least I got a farm, you know. He was just like...
He took a beating. He suffered in this fight, a broken jaw, broken ribs. He never was again a serious contender after this. I mean, he would fight a few more times, but he was never, ever a serious contender. Dempsey, when he beat you, destroyed you.
Yeah, Dempsey was like kind of the first of the monsters too, like this. Well, actually, Jack Johnson probably also. He was kind of like.
But Jack Johnson wasn't a monster, Logan. Jack Johnson was a master boxer puncher.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't like this Mike Tyson figure either.
Jack Dempsey was the first monster. You were right. Literally, you're right. He was the first monster, a la Mike Tyson, George Foreman, Sonny Liston. He was the first of that ilk.
It's like the Goldberg formula, like the, you know, the Road Warriors type guy, you know.
He was among the first. And if you go to divisions, to other great punches from before, sort of like a Rocky Graciano, those type of fighters. He was the first of that type of fighter would come after you, would beat you down. He was a monster.
Yeah, and that was so appealing to people in this time of war, and he became a great symbol of America, you know. And it's
in the 1920s, the three most popular athletes in the United States in the 1920s were Babe Ruth, Jack Dempsey, and a wrestler that Carl Stern and Dave Meltzer always claimed was probably the biggest wrestling star of all time, Jim Londos. Those were the three biggest stars in America and the American sports cultures of the 1920s.
God, man, who'd have thought? So then you got he's making how many defenses does he have until we get to this next fight?
All right, let me quickly look. I believe it's two, but let me make sure I'm correct. I believe it's two more before he fights George Carpentier. Now, this is a huge fight. This is an international fight. Carpentier is a massively popular boxer in Europe from France. And
he's good, too.
Oh, he was a tremendous boxer. Not much of a punch, but a tremendous boxer. All right, he would defend his title two more times, two knockout victories over Billy Miskey and Bill Brennan. And then we go to the next fight, July 2nd, 1921, Jersey City, New Jersey. This looked like it was put out in a farm because I never heard of this stadium. Boyle's 30 acres, 120,000 fans. Looked like they just took 8-9 blocks and put it together and got everybody out of the way to make this fight.
Yeah, my God. It was huge. You could just see, like, the people and all the way in the back. I mean, how they could even – they wouldn't even see this thing, man. Like, I can't understand it.
It wasn't like you could see the screen because there were no screens at this time.
No, this was like – I mean, that's the thing about his fights. They were like cultural events. He had all the press. He had all the, you know, just like reporters. It was not
– And Logan, they would later on film it and put it in the movie theaters.
Right. With the silent movie, yeah, we saw that fight with the silent on YouTube. They have it, like the exact broadcast with the silent captions.
Yes.
So yeah, you saw them training, and then you saw him, doing his jogging and all that, and then you see him fight. You even see him sparring a little bit too. So you have this fight now. Just take us through this fight. It was a little because of the footage, it's a little difficult to see what's going on here, but. Maybe.
Pierre is basically running. He's running. And for the first three rounds, I gave the first three rounds to Dempsey because Carpentier is running and holding. He's doing nothing else. He's running. He's holding. He's running. He's holding. He's holding. He's running. Finally, in the fourth round, Dempsey catches up to him and destroys him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dempsey was basically like ragdolling him whenever he did get him into some a punch or two in, but he was successfully getting away from a lot of Dempsey's punches. But you're right, and then it finally caught up to him. He was just flattened. He got up once and then got destroyed again. So what round was that, the fourth round?
He put him to sleep in the fourth round.
Yeah.
And of the first $1 million gate in the history of boxing, his fourth round knockout of the French heavyweight champion and member of the International Boxing Hall of Fame, Georges Carpentier. So the first two fights, both Willard and Carpentier, are members of the Hall of Fame. So as you can see, Dempsey, the fighters he does fight are already recognized as all-time greats. Now, there was controversy after, we'll talk about it after the next fight. No controversy yet.
Wasn't there a controversy right at the title fight because his wife kind of claimed that he was a draft dodger or something like that?
Was it Dempsey's wife or was it somebody else's wife?
It was Dempsey's ex-whore wife.
That was always the allegations that Dempsey was a draft dodger for World War One,
Turned him into kind of a Mike Tyson type, like a little bit of a bad guy, right?
Nah, he was never a bad guy, Logan. The fans loved this guy. If it was true, they overlooked it, but it was never proof.
I see.
Yeah.
But he was still an anti-hero. I mean, he had like, you know, he had like the stubble. You know, he kind of looked like a badass.
And he had the fade haircut that would become popular in the 90s.
Yeah, total fade, man.
He had a fade. He had a, you know.
He was the only one that had it, too, back then.
I know. Yeah, I was like, wow, if you look at him and Mike Tyson, they just show from the back, very similar with the same haircut.
Oh, Tyson imitated him on purpose, yeah. Tyson loved Dempsey. I mean, you could see it from everything he did.
Tyson's two favorite fighters were Jack Dempsey and Sonny Liston, and you see a lot of their style incorporated to his style.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, though, that I don't know. I mean, I think Dempsey – I mean, is there any – what would you say is the difference between Dempsey and Tyson?
Tyson had a jab. When Tyson, early in his career, had a very good jab, Dempsey never had a jab.
Well, there you go.
They both had great chins, and they both were relentless in their prime.
Now, I remember hearing a fight that he had in some small town where things didn't – like, where they lost a lot of money on it or something like that, but I'm
yes,
not –
Yes. That was the only 15-round fight of his career. We'll talk about that shortly after his next great performance, which is July 2nd. No, I'm sorry. We'll talk about that shortly because – that fight occurred before the last fight we'll talk about, July 4th, 1923. Now, another thing about Jack Dempsey, he was such a big star, Logan, that July 4th weekend would always be the big Dempsey fight. And it was smart. It was a holiday, the 4th of July, and thousands of people will attend. Well, July 4th, 1923, he had one of those fights in Shelby, Montana, against Tommy Gibbons. But I believe... because this is a small town, it's a very impoverished town, only 20,000 people showed up. And the people who backed the fight were Tommy Gibbons people, and they took a bath. While Dempsey got something like $250,000, some shit like that.
He got like $300,000, and he had to get paid in like, I guess he had to get paid in like three installments, but they went bankrupt trying to pay him, basically.
Yeah, they thought that this fight would help
the town
where it just did more damage to a very poor town.
Yeah, yeah.
And that fight was the only 15-round fight that Dempsey ever went the distance.
Yeah, it turned out to be a boring, long fight that no one liked.
A fight, and I have that fight in my archives, and I looked at it before this, and I was like, nah, we're not gonna talk about this shit.
What happened in that fight? Why didn't he do so well?
Gibbons was running and holding. I mean, Dempsey threw as many punches in the 15th as the first, but this guy was just there to survive.
So he's in there with, like, a Ruiz.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, this guy was the 1923 version of John Ruiz, yes.
So then you go to this next big fight with Firpo.
Yes. Yes, September 14th, 1923, in the Polo Grounds. 80,000 people, maybe more, because it's standing room only. All right? Biggest prize fight ever held in Harlem. The biggest, single biggest fight ever. The biggest attendance ever in Harlem. And Jack Dempsey, the first round, dropped Louis Furpo 7 times, just like he dropped Jess Willard 7 times.
After, right. And I just want to say, this fight in any other era would have been over, you know, completely over. But then we get to the second round.
No. Before the second round, towards the end of the first round, Dempsey's going for the kill. Furpo lands a spectacular right cross. Dempsey walks into it, and Dempsey falls out of the ring.
That's right. This is still the first round. And then he falls out. He gets pushed back in, and then there's a little bit of controversy about whether he got in on his own accord. The referee basically starts a count out, you know, like a wrestling count out on him.
Well, you know, also, the rule still applies to this day. When you get knocked out of the ring, Logan, in boxing, you're not giving them a 10 count, you're giving a 20 count. And
Uh-oh.
He got the count of 17.
Hell, well, that's funny, man. I never knew that. That's like where the rule came from wrestling, maybe. Because wrestling, you know, obviously we know the ten. Japan, it's 20.
It's still 20 seconds to this day. It rarely happens. The few occasions it does happen, I've usually, the guy doesn't go back in. Once you knock out the ring, his head hits the ring bell or the concrete, and he's done.
So they got him back in there. And this is like, you know, this guy, after taking this huge beating, this guy was a bull, man.
That was his name, Logan, the Argentine Bull. Luis Angel Furpo, the first Latin American ever to get a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship. And as we've seen throughout many of the clips, throughout many of the shows that we talked about, Argentinian fighters historically have great chins, like Mexicans. They have great chins.
Yeah.
This guy took a horrendous beating in the first round. 7 times he went down, dropped him. But that was the highlight of his evening, because in the second round he goes down 2 more times. He gets dropped. And finally, the fight's over in the third.
Yeah, now, this guy, how good was Furpo? Was he just a monster kind of for him?
Furpo was a monster, Logan. He, matter of fact, to get this shot at the title, he knocked out Jess Willard. Furpo was a monster, a fierce puncher, took a great punch, but lacking in skill. Dempsey had much more skill than Furpo. It was Dempsey losing control, looking for the kill that caused him to get knocked down. But in the second round, he drops him 2 more times and knocks him out with a spectacular right cross, puts him to sleep. Second round knockout for the great Jack Dempsey, which would be, Logan, his last successful defense.
Yep. Now what happened? He waited a long time before a defense?
This is what happened. There was negotiations between the number one black fighter of the time, Harry Willis, and him. And it kept breaking down. No state athletic commission wanted to sanction it.
His manager didn't want to do it because his manager had...
But his manager didn't want to do it, and neither did any of the state athletic commissions. That was the only fight to be made. He had beaten everybody else.
Right.
Harry Wills had beaten Carpentier and Furpo. It was one of those guys. So he was the number one contender. For 3 years, that fight didn't happen. So finally, Dempsey was just fighting exhibitions, doing movies, doing vaudeville acts, hanging out with Al Capone, hanging out with Houdini. So finally, after 3 years of not fighting an official fight,
getting soft, basically,
he finally defends the title against Gene Tunney in September of 1926. And gets outboxed beautifully. Tunney fights the perfect plan. Tunney, the original dance master, made Dempsey miss, and he was bloated because he hadn't fought 3 years. Tunney wins an easy 10-round decision.
But this was a big fight, right? It was still a big fight.
It was held in Philadelphia, and I believe it might have been 100,000 people at the fight.
Really?
Yes, a huge crowd. Huge crowd.
Now, Tunney, how does he measure up in terms of the – he's in the Boxing Hall of Fame, right?
He was one of the greatest light heavyweights of all time. He had a short heavyweight run. He only lost one time in his entire career, one of the greatest fighters of all time, one of the original dance masters, one of the great first pure boxers. He was a great, great fighter, Gene Tunney. And
What did he do? He did like what Holyfield did to Tyson?
No, he did what Ali did to Liston. He made Dempsey miss and hit him all night long.
That's why
a prime Dempsey against a prime Ali takes him to school.
Okay, but then you have...
And they had the rematch.
Yeah, the rematch, which is the biggest fight of all time, right?
The first $1 million payday. Jack Dempsey gets $1 million to try to regain the championship, and it's also the first real controversial fight, one of the most controversial fights in boxing history. In the seventh round, Dempsey, after not catching this guy for two fights, finally catches him in the corner and drops him. Tunney is out like a light. But Jack Dempsey forgot that the rules had changed. He can't stand over the fighter anymore. He stood over him, and the referee's like, get to the neutral corner, and Dempsey's refusing for at least 6-7 seconds. The referee's not going to start the count till you get to the neutral corner. Finally, Dempsey gets to the neutral corner, gives Tunney a chance to clear his head. Tunney gets up at the count of 9. It was the long count.
He was there for almost 20 seconds.
Yep.
And the thing about it is they...
People always thought, oh, he should have been knocked out. No, it's his fault. It's Dempsey's fault. Dempsey would have become the first fighter to regain the heavyweight championship.
Right. But the thing about Dempsey is that when he got knocked down, the ref didn't push the other guy away. He just let the other guy stand there while he counted.
No. He started the count. Tunney did go to the neutral corner, but the referee started the count right away.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But why didn't he make Tunney go to the neutral corner?
It didn't matter. Dempsey didn't get up.
Oh, I know. But it just showed you that maybe this ref was a little biased against Dempsey.
Yeah, but you know what? The ref, in the first place, you also got to think about who's there. He knows Dempsey's a tiger. Dempsey's in front of this guy. If he doesn't push Dempsey to the corner,
right,
stay there, the guy gets up, he could kill him.
He would.
Well, Tunney was always known as a gentleman in the ring. Tunney was going to go to the neutral corner. Dempsey wasn't. The referee had to force him over there.
Yeah, Tunney was ready to punch him, that's for sure. He had to stop him. And that's the thing, is that that little like fuck up there, he could have come back and won.
He had he not fucked up, he would have won. Tunney would have been counted out.
But still, because of that because it's kind of like the screw job of Montreal, he got a lot of popularity out of that.
He lost, but he didn't lose.
Right.
He lost, and he never fought again. He retired. And which was smart. He had lost a step. And you know, Logan, when your skill is based on speed, and Dempsey, at that point, was probably the fastest heavyweight in the history of boxing. He lost a step. And in order for him to fight a guy like Tunney, you need speed, because Tunney was fast. He lost a step. And in those 20 rounds they fought, Tunney won 19 of those 20 rounds because Dempsey could not, with his loss of speed, and the fact that he took 3 years away from the ring, cost him.
This was like Tyson Lewis here, man. But I guess Tunney's a lot smaller. But
or Tyson Holyfield.
Yeah. Well, you have Tyson here, yeah. Dempsey here, basically, the losing his reflexes, and that's why he can't keep up here.
He still has the power, but once he lost his step, you know, against a dance master like Tunney, he's going to be at a huge disadvantage.
So then he had money, but then he lost on the stock market or something?
Yeah, but Dempsey, being that he was real popular, he did lose, like a lot of people, a lot of his investments, but he never suffered. He opened up a bar, a famous
restaurant,
the Jack Dempsey's in Madison Square Garden. He was always on television.
Has it reopened?
There is a Dempsey's without the P. I don't know if it's related. There's a Jack Dempsey's, but without a P, maybe for legal purposes.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess they revitalized that the idea of it, because I'm pretty sure there is one in Manhattan. I've seen it.
There's one called Dempsey's with Jack Dempsey's, no P.
I see. They take the P out.
I think that's done for legal purposes because his family has nothing to do with that bar.
You know what? That's kind of misleading. But
let's go to Dempsey's. No, it's Dempsey's. It's Dempsey's.
I wonder if there's any pictures of Jack Dempsey up in that. I wonder.
It's right across the street from Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. All right, so he opened up that thing, and, yeah, he's been sort of a beloved figure. He died very late in his life.
He died. I'm trying to remember. He was 87 years old when he died in 1983.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's just – and he was always just kind of like a guy that they would
– remember, he retired at 32, so he retired with his faculties intact.
Totally, yeah. He seemed to be completely
He didn't take too many, other than the Tunney losses, and the Tunney losses weren't beatings, more of being outclassed. He never really suffered a brutal beating in the ring. So he was one of the few heavyweights to flourish after retirement, sort of like a Lennox Lewis, where he became a huge, huge, huge popular retired athlete in his country.
Yeah. I mean, just that's the thing about him. He was able to rely upon that notoriety for his restaurant. You know, people came from miles around just to go to the restaurant and see him there. And he's such an icon.
He was also very honest in fighters that would become great heavyweights later on. Like he mentioned Joe Louis. He didn't think he could beat Joe Louis because of Joe Louis' jab and power. And he felt Ali would have handled him like Tunney. So Dempsey was honest in his assertions. He died before he could get to see Mike Tyson. He would have loved Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that's funny, right? He died like right before Mike Tyson came on the scene.
Right. A year before Tyson came on the scene, he died. So yeah, I would have loved if he would have been alive to. And Tyson talks with great admiration of Jack Dempsey.
Now they also called him what, Kid Blackie or something like that.
That was his original nickname when he started boxing.
Why? Because he's a little dark?
I guess because of hair. He had jet black hair.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, he fought under a fake name.
Jack Dempsey's not his real name.
Right. Well, his last name, right?
A great middleweight named Jack Dempsey, and that's where he took the name from. And this would happen a lot in early boxing where guys would see, I like that style, so they would take that name, and it would... Also, they would hope it would help them get bookings. Oh, maybe he's a relative.
Yeah, I mean, that's what wrestling does. I mean, it used to do that a lot. So this guy's just like, you know, he really made boxing into the household kind of sport that it was, right?
He was the first superstar in the history of boxing. While Jack Johnson was the first infamous figure, Jack Dempsey was the first superstar, and he was the one that turned the heavyweight championship into the biggest prize in sports.
Now, after he left the scene, you have Tunney there.
Tunney retires a couple of years later, and then Max Schmeling becomes heavyweight champion of the world. Jack Sharkey's heavyweight champion of the world. Max Baer, heavyweight champion of the world. Primo Carnera, heavyweight champion of the world. The popularity doesn't come back until Joe Louis knocks out Max Schmeling in the first round in that fight of the century. And from then on, Joe Louis becomes the next great superstar of boxing.
Yep. And it's still, you know, it's just interesting because, like, I just don't know without standing on the shoulders of Jack Dempsey that he would have been as big as he was, you know.
Well, you come in, you have to, once the heavyweight, once it was established, Dempsey helped establish the heavyweight title as the single most important prize in sports. Once that's established, you got to continue to have those stars.
Right.
Take that mantle. Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali.
So it just skips from Joe Louis to Muhammad Ali, or who's in between there?
I got Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano's a huge star.
Yeah, of course. He's the one.
I'm not talking about the guys in between. I'm talking about the next great superstars, the popular, the ones that the fans flock. It would be Louis, then Marciano, then Ali. Larry Holmes was never as big as those guys. It would be Tyson next. And then and since Tyson, you haven't had, I mean,
we haven't really had anybody yet.
Lennox Lewis is from Great Britain. He's not American. So you haven't had that great American superstar that everybody would flock to see, that household name, since Mike Tyson.
Deontay Wilder, man. He's the one.
He hopefully he continues to do what he's doing. He'll be on his way.
So we got how would he do now? You're saying in terms of top heavyweights, where is Jack Dempsey?
I got him 10th on the all-time list, and I also have him as the greatest white heavyweight of all time.
Ha ha! All right, and who's under him of the second?
It would be him first, Marciano second, and Klitschko third.
But Marciano, Klitschko would kill Marciano.
Go with kill Marciano. Yes, I agree.
All right. But it's just that Marciano was,
I think Kim Dempsey kills Klitschko.
You do, huh?
Yes. Look at that Jess Willett fight. Can you see Klitschko was standing in that fucking barrage?
I'd like to see Marciano against Dempsey, but.
That would have been a war. I'd see Dempsey beat Marciano, but there would be a lot of blood in that fucking fight.
Yeah, that would not be pretty. Now, how do you think Dempsey does against a Tyson?
Oh, that would be a great fight. I think Tyson would beat Dempsey, but it would be a war. It would be a fucking war.
Yeah, maybe that jab would give him the edge there.
Yeah,
but
I think but it would be, oh, that would be a dream fight. Wow.
Because I noticed that Dempsey, in these fights, he takes a punch, man. He puts his face up.
Phenomenal chin.
And it looked like a piece of granite. I mean, you look at his face. I feel like they used his face to, like, model Superman and Shazam and things like that. Right? It looked like the same face.
Yes, the hair and the face. Yes.
Like, I remember looking at the old comics of Superman and Shazam, and they look. And I was like, when I was looking at pictures of Dempsey, I was like, they must have patterned their fucking faces on this guy because he had that square jaw.
DC Comics owes the Dempsey family a lot of money.
Dude, they're totally, like, ripping off. Well, maybe he just had the classic superhero look, but
Christopher Reeves had that black curly hair, right? That's straight out of Jack Dempsey.
There you go. Jack Dempsey, man. He influenced a lot of stuff. Let's just fake it. He was like the, you know, he was like the Hercules, the modern-day Hercules. And he had everything. I mean, he had the build and the face. I'm sure the girls, like, went crazy for this guy.
He was married 4 times, so there was a lot of infidelity involved.
Right. Well, anyway, we'll talk soon. Later on today, we're going to be talking about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So for all you movie fans, check out Logan's movie reviews. And what show are we doing next?
Okay, next week, we'll be doing another movie show, and we'll go back to wrestling. We're doing WWE recently acquired Shizuki Nakamura. They stole him from New Japan. So in anticipation of you guys who follow today's wrestling, because I don't, we'll be talking about Nakamura's 3 greatest performances and what a fucking talent this guy is. They're going to fuck it up. They're not going to know how to push this guy, but that's their problem. I could care less.
Yeah.
And in 2 weeks, we return with the greatest performances of the great Evander Holyfield.
Oh, that's going to be great. Okay, man. What would you say the greatest fight of Jack Dempsey's career is?
Well, like a great fight, like something we would have covered on the greatest fight.
Yeah.
His fight with Furpo, the last fight we talked about.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that was actually one of the greatest.
First round is one of the greatest first rounds in the history of boxing on the level of Hagler-Hearns.
There you go. Okay, man. Thanks, and I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you tonight, big man. Later.
Peace.